Osho, Returning to the Source, Talks on Zen, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 6.
Bhagwan, when Yang Chu was passing through Song, he spent the night at an inn. The innkeeper had two concubines, one beautiful and the other ugly. The ugly one he valued, and the beautiful one he neglected. When Yang Chu asked the reason, the fellow answered, "The beautiful one thinks herself beautiful, and I do not notice her beauty. The ugly one thinks herself ugly, and I do not notice her ugliness." Yang Chu said to his disciples, "Remember this, if you act nobly and banish from your mind the thought that you are noble, where can you go and not be loved?"
The ego exists through self-consciousness. It cannot exist otherwise. But remember, self-consciousness is not the consciousness of the self. Self-consciousness is not self-remembering. Self-consciousness, in fact, is not consciousness at all. It is an unconscious state. You are not alert when you are self-conscious. You are not aware. You don't know that you are self-conscious. If you become aware, self-consciousness disappears. If you become a witness, it is not found there. Remember one criterion, that whatsoever disappears by becoming aware is illusory. And whatsoever remains through awareness not only remains but becomes more crystallized is true. Make it a criterion. Consciousness is the touchstone. In a dream, if you become aware that you are dreaming, the dream disappears immediately. Not even a split second, it can be there. The moment you become aware that it is a dream, it is no more there. Because the very nature of a dream is illusory. It exists because you are not. When you are, it disappears. It exists only when you are unconscious. If you take this touchstone and touch all that happens to you on it, there will be so much happening within you, such a great transformation is possible through it, that you cannot imagine it beforehand. Anger is there. If you become aware, it disappears. Love is there. If you become aware, it becomes more crystallized. Then love is part of existence and anger is part of dreaming. If you are unaware, then you exist. If you become aware, you simply dissolve. You are no more there. Then God exists. And you both cannot exist together. Either you are God. There is no choice. And there is no compromise. You cannot say 50-50, a little I and a little God. No, that's not possible. You simply are not found when God is. So self-consciousness is not a right word, because consciousness is used in it. It is a very unconscious state. So it will be better if you allow me to call self-consciousness self-unconsciousness. Whenever you feel you are, something is ill. That's what Chuang Tzu says. If the suit doesn't fit, then you are conscious of the feet. If the shoe fits, the feet is forgotten. It is because of headache that you become aware of the head. If the headache disappears, where is the head? With the headache, head also disappears. When something is wrong, it becomes like a wound. When you are ill, then this so-called self-consciousness exists. When everything fits, is a harmony, and there is no discard. The shoe is not pinching. Everything is absolutely okay. You are not self-conscious. You are. In fact, for the first time you are, but you are not self-conscious. For example, whenever you are ill, you become body conscious. You are weak, you have a fever, something is wrong in the body, you become body conscious. It hurts, you become body conscious. When the body is absolutely okay, healthy, in a state of well-being, you are not conscious about it. Not that you don't know that you are healthy, but no self-consciousness is needed. You are simply healthy. A state of well-being surrounds you. But in the state, there is no division between the state and the knower. You are one with it. It is not that you feel well-being, you are well-being. So who will be conscious about it? There is no division. So who will know about it? Only in disease the division comes in. You are totally one with the body when the body is healthy. When the body is ill, a rift. You are broken asunder. You are not together. The body exists somewhere else, you somewhere else. In meditation, you are one with your consciousness. So it doesn't function and exist as a mind. You are one. There is no division. When there is no division and unity comes in, all self-consciousness disappears. Let me repeat, because you can misunderstand it. It is not that the self disappears. Just the self-consciousness disappears. And remember, you are not in a state of unconsciousness. You are perfectly aware, but not self-conscious. Perfectly aware, fully aware. But there is only awareness. No division. Who is aware of whom? No subject, no object. simply a complete, a total state, a circle of awareness. That awareness in which self-consciousness is not, is egoless. And that awareness has a grace, a beauty that doesn't belong to this world. Even an ugly person will become beautiful in that state. Ugly, as far as the criterions of this world go, but suffused, illuminated with something from the beyond. The body, the shape may not be beautiful, but it is filled with some unknown grace. And then you forget the body. The grace is so much, you simply cannot attend to the body. You feel the grace. All saints are beautiful. Not that their bodies are always beautiful, no. But they are filled with some unknown bliss which touches you, a grace which fills the milieu around them. They carry their own climate. And wherever they are, suddenly you feel the climate has changed. And that is such a tremendous force, you cannot look at their bodies. Their bodies simply disappear. The bodilessness is too much. Your body is seen because the bodilessness is not there. You are just the body. Nothing is illuminating it from the within. You are a lamp, unlit. So only the lamp is seen. When the light comes, you forget the lamp. Then the light comes out of it. Then who bothers about the lamp? And if light is too much, you cannot even see the lamp. All saints are beautiful. All children are beautiful. Observe the fact. Every child is born beautiful. You cannot find an ugly child. Difficult. Very, very difficult to find an ugly child. All children are born beautiful, then what goes wrong? Because later on, all people are not beautiful. All children are born with grace. But then, something goes wrong. Somewhere, the growth stops and everything becomes ugly. Later on, you cannot find so many beautiful persons in the world. And as you grow old, you become more and more ugly. It should be just the other way if life moves in the right direction. If you know the art of how to live beautifully, how to live with grace, how to live through the divine, not through the ego, then just the opposite will be the case. Every child will grow more and more beautiful, and the old age must be the culmination. It has to be. If the life has been according to nature, Tao, Dhamma, if it has followed an inner discipline, not forced, if you have loved, if you have been aware, if you have been meditative, then every day you become more and more beautiful. And the old man who has passed through all the turmoils, ups and downs of life, who has known maturity, who is now seasoned, will have a beauty which nobody else can have. In the East it happened, that's why the East worships the old, not the young, because the young is still incomplete. He has to pass through many things yet. And yet there is a possibility something may go wrong. When an old man is beautiful, now there is no possibility to fall down. He has known all. He has passed through all the experiences, all the anguish of existence, all the miseries, all the blessings. He has seen nights and days. He has moved to the peaks and to the valleys. And he has attained an inner integrity through all these experiences. Now he is balanced. Now there is no right, no left. Now there are no extremes. Now he neither longs for peaks nor avoids the valleys. He simply accepts. The life has prepared him for this acceptance. The life has prepared him not to fight, but to let go. And when you can let go, you have attained. A young man tries not to let go and fight. A young man tries to conquer. A young man is foolish. He does not know that the victory comes through let go. He cannot know. It is difficult to know. He will have to pass through many frustrations. Then only he will become aware that frustrations are the other aspect of expectations. He will have to pass through many defeats. Only then he will come to know that victory belongs to those who don't fight, who give way, who don't fight against the current, who don't try to go upstream, who simply leave themselves wherever the nature takes them. Only those are victorious who have come to an inner harmony with nature. Now there is no fight, because how the part can fight the whole? And how the part can be victorious with the whole? This is absurd. But a young man has to try. An old man reaches to total acceptance. In this total acceptance, he is the most beautiful. And he is not self-conscious. He cannot be, because ego is created. Self-consciousness is created because you fight. So the first thing to understand is not to be self-conscious. Be aware. Be conscious, but not self-conscious. Consciousness without the self. Just being alert. And what is the difference? When you are conscious, you are conscious of yourself. When you are self-conscious, you are conscious of yourself in relation to others. What others are thinking about you? What they are feeling about you? Whether they think you beautiful or not? You come in the room, others are sitting there, you become self-conscious. You were a different person just a few minutes before outside the room. You were alone. In your bathroom, you are totally different. Singing, humming, even making faces before the mirror. You are totally a child, enjoying. You are not worried about anything else. You are not self-conscious. But suddenly you become aware that somebody is peeping through the hole, through the keyhole. Immediately everything changes. You are no more the same. You have become self-conscious. Self-conscious is related to others. And that is what ego is. Ego means continuously thinking what others are thinking about you, whether they appreciate or not, whether they pay attention to you or not. And when you become so much aware of others, you will be ill at ease. You cannot be at home, because you cannot control others. Others change like weather. Sometimes they appreciate you. In fact, they are not appreciating you. By accident, you have come to them in a time, at a time when they are in a good mood. They appreciate you because they are generous, in a good mood. Come to them when they are in a bad mood. Then they cannot appreciate you. Then you look ugly to them. Their appreciation doesn't depend on you. Their appreciation or condemnation depends on their own moods. And how can you control moods of others? And there are millions. There is no way. You cannot control your own moods. How you expect to control others' moods? You will be always in a continuous trembling and shaking if you depend on others. A mature man, a man who understands, simply drops the whole idea. It is absurd. It is meaningless. He simply lives his own life unself-consciously. And then beauty arises. Then grace happens. Then something from the beyond starts pouring into him. And this is the paradox. When this happens, many will become aware of you. Many will feel the beauty, the benediction that you carry with you, the grace that happens just in your presence. Many will feel it when you are not self-conscious. When you are self-conscious, you become ugly. When you are self-conscious, the very effort to impress makes you ugly. And this you can watch in life. It may be difficult for you to watch in yourself, because it is very difficult to watch oneself, watch others. Why a prostitute looks ugly? She may be a beautiful body. She may have a beautiful body. But why a prostitute looks ugly? Because she is too much self-conscious. She depends on the attention of others. She is a commodity. She is on sale. She is always on the window for others to appreciate and look, because that is her own whole life, her business. A prostitute cannot live without self-consciousness. How she can live without attracting others? Even the body may be beautiful, but you cannot find beauty in a prostitute. It is impossible. Why? And sometimes a homely woman suddenly appears to be beautiful. Just a homely woman doing her housewife's work, preparing food. The husband may be coming, waiting for children, just waiting for the lover, sitting near the steps, looking far away in the distance. Suddenly, you feel a beauty around her. She is homely. In no way you can call her beautiful, but you feel the beauty. What is happening there, waiting for the lover? She is unself-conscious. She is not worried about you. She is not asking for anybody's attention. She is totally absorbed. She is not self-conscious. She loves somebody. If you love somebody, then you need not be self-conscious. And if you are self-conscious, you cannot love, because the ego will become the barrier. If you are not self-conscious, only then love is possible. That's why more egoist a person and less possibility of love. And when there is no love, you are in a vicious circle. You think people don't love you because you don't appear beautiful, so you try to be more beautiful. You become more and more self-conscious. The more self-conscious you become, the less possibility. And if you become absolutely self-conscious, you are almost impossible. Nobody can love you. You will simply put off anybody who comes near. You are a closed person. Nobody can enter in you. An unself-conscious person is simply open. He doesn't expect much, but much happens. You expect too much, then nothing happens. This story is beautiful. Try to understand this. When Yang Chu was passing through Sang, he spent the night at an inn. The innkeeper had two concubines, one beautiful and the other ugly. The ugly one he valued, and the beautiful one he neglected. This is a parable, so don't take it literally. In fact, everyone has two concubines. You may be having one wife, but that is only on the surface. Everybody has two wives, one beautiful, one ugly, because every person has two aspects, one beautiful, one ugly. Even a beautiful person in certain moments is ugly. And just the reverse is also true. An ugly person in certain moments is beautiful. Because ugliness and beauty are not parts of the form. They belong to the within. Have you observed a beautiful person in certain moments when he or she becomes totally ugly? Have you seen a beautiful woman with lust in her eyes? Suddenly everything goes ugly, because lust is ugly. Have you seen an ugly woman with love in her eyes? Suddenly everything becomes beautiful. Love beautifies. Lust makes you ugly. Anger makes you ugly. Compassion beautifies. The more you think inside your mind, the more ugly and tense becomes your face. If you don't think, if you live without much thinking, more meditatively, everything becomes beautiful. The face of Buddhas always become feminine. That's why Hindus never depict their enlightened person with beards and mustaches, no. You have seen Buddhas, any picture with a beard or a mustache, or Mahavir, or Krishna, or Ram, no. Not that beards never came to them. because that will be a deformity. That will mean something is biologically wrong, physiologically wrong. Some hormone is missing. No, they had beards and mustaches. But Hindus have completely dropped them. They don't depict them because they are depicting something inner. They are showing through Buddha's statues that this man became completely feminine. Why feminine? Because grace is feminine. Beauty is feminine. Because the body loses all violent corners. It becomes more round. Muscles are not needed for a Buddha. Muscles belong to the wild animalhood. The body becomes more and more round, shapely, more and more feminine. When aggression disappears, muscles also disappear. Because they exist for a particular purpose, for aggression, to be violent. You look at the pictures or at the bodies of Mr. Universes. They are wild animals. They are no more human beings. And their bodies are not healthy also. They have been forcing their body into unnatural shapes. They may look like lions, but they are not human beings. They are appreciated because we are still animalistic. If you become more beautiful and graceful, less aggressive and loving, then you will choose a man like Buddha to be Mr. Universe, not animals. A body which has lost violence, aggression, which is completely at ease, relaxed, ready to love, not to fight. Everybody has two aspects. Just watch people. I say watch people so that finally, eventually you can watch yourself. It is very difficult because you are so near yourself. There is no distance, so observation becomes difficult. Once Mulla Nasruddin was put in a mental hospital. He had to be. But just after a few minutes, he pushed the call bell. The nurse rushed in and she asked, "What is the matter?" Nasruddin said, "You people, why you have put me with this nut in this room?" There was another person. "Why you have put me here with this nut?" The nurse said, "The hospital is crowded and it is difficult to find a single bedroom for you. And we know he is a nut, but is he annoying you in any way?" Nasruddin said, "Yes, it is impossible for me to be here with him. He is annoying me." He goes on looking all around and says, "There are no lions here, no scorpions, no snakes, no tigers, no crocodiles, no, nothing is here." He goes on saying this. "It annoys me. As you can plainly see, the room is full of them." It is very easy to see what is wrong in somebody else. It is very, very difficult to observe oneself. That's why I say first start watching people. They are you. through them you will understand yourself. Just start watching people. They are you. Watching them, you will come to a point where you can understand yourself better. Look people on the street. How self-conscious they are. How continuously ego-oriented. Look at your leaders, politicians, your so-called saints, how self-conscious they are, continuously on the show. In the market, in the show window, never at home. They are like commodities for sale. And it doesn't matter whether you are a very costly commodity or cheap. A person is not a commodity. Mullah Nasruddin once met a woman in the train and he said, "Would you like to sleep with me? I will give you 1,000 rupees. The woman hesitated a little and said, "No. What do you think I am?" Mullah Nasruddin said, "Then I can give you 10,000 rupees. Now it was difficult to say no to the offer, because there comes a limit to everybody. When the price reaches the woman said, "Okay." Nasruddin said, "How about 100 rupees? The woman said, "What are you talking? What do you think I am? Nasruddin said, "That we have decided. Now, a little haggling about the price. That we have decided who you are. 10,000 or 10 rupees, that is not the point. Are you a commodity? Why you are so much worried what people think about you? Are you for sale?" Then why so much self-conscious? And everything goes wrong. You notice people talking beautifully with each other. Everybody talks. But just put the man or the woman on the platform and tell him to talk to you. Something goes wrong. He was never at a loss to find words. Now he cannot find. He starts stuttering, trembles. What happens? And he is a good talker. With friends he talks perfectly well. But now he has become self-conscious, standing on the platform. He has become a commodity. Now what people will say, whether they will appreciate or not, now he is troubled. Now it is an ego trip. When he is talking with friends, it is not an ego trip. He is a charming talker. But on the platform, almost everybody becomes boring. Mullah Nasruddin became once mayor of his town. He's a good talker. You can talk with him for hours together. A good storyteller. A beautiful man. But he became the mayor and it was very difficult. He started boring people of the town. He will talk too long. And then he will be at a loss where to stop. So he told his secretary not to write so long lectures because people are getting bored. So next day, he delivered a talk. There was some celebration. The year was ending. But people still got bored. So he was very angry. He told the secretary, "What is the matter? I told you to write a short lecture. And you again did the same, and people got bored." The secretary said, "I had written a short one, but you read all the 3 copies." When you are self-conscious, you are completely unconscious. You don't know what you are doing. You are so much afraid that you don't know what is happening. Self-consciousness is a disease. Animals are beautiful. All animals. Have you seen any ugly animal, a ugly deer? Have you seen an ugly bird? Ever? Can you find an ugly tree? Then what has happened to man? And everything is so beautiful in the world. What has happened to man? There is nothing like an ugly tree or an ugly bird or an ugly animal. They are all beautiful. They are all graceful. They are so perfectly alike. If you go into the forest and see 1,000 deers moving, you will not find a single deer fat, too fat, too thin, ugly, beautiful. You will not be able to make any distinction. They look all alike. What is the matter with men then? Why so many people become so ugly, so fat, either thin or fat, but never in balance, self-conscious? They don't exist in a relaxed way, tense. When you are tense, you will start eating more. When you are relaxed, you eat only that much as it is needed. The body decides, not you. If you are tense, you will eat more. Tense people tend to eat more because eating becomes an occupation. Through eating, they can forget themselves. Tense people become ugly because the tension is not only in the mind, it affects the body. Body and mind are not two. There is no division. Mind is just the other pole of the body, and the body is also the pole of the mind. Visible mind is body. Invisible body is the mind. Subtle body is the mind. Gross mind is the body. You have a psychosomatic structure. It is one. When the mind is tense, then your face starts showing the worries. Then your skin starts showing the tension. And if it has become a deep-rooted thing, then the body takes the shape. The mind becomes the mold, and the body takes the shape. Just by watching the face of a man, you can see what is happening in the mind. Hence, face reading exists as a science. It is a science, because your face shows what is happening in the mind. You see that whatsoever you do, eating, sleeping, moving, walking, relating with people, sitting alone, whatsoever you do, your body and mind are always together. If you eat more, that shows that your mind needs love. And you are in such a deep need of love that food has become a substitute. People who are in need of love will eat more. And the more they eat, the less becomes the possibility of anybody falling in love with them. Then it becomes a vicious circle. They eat more. And a deep association exists between love and food, because every child receives love and food from the same mother. And together, they become deeply associated. In fact, the child gets food first, milk, and then by and by he becomes aware of the love that is flowing from the mother. So whenever you cannot find love, you will fall back on food. You will start eating more. It will become a substitute. You walk. Everything shows around you. If you are tense, you walk in a tense way. As if you are carrying a burden, a mountain on your head. Something is hanging in your neck. Even if you shake hands, if you are worried and tense, the hand is dead. There is no warmth in it. It is cold. It is like a dead branch of a tree. No more life moves in it. Because when you are tense, the whole energy is absorbed in the head. When you are relaxed, the energy moves all over. Then the energy has a flow. When you are tense, it becomes blocked. Tense, you are like a river in hot summer. Only somewhere little pools are left and the bed is dry. Somewhere you can find a little pool dirty, but there is no flow. Then again sand, then again a little pool. This is how a tense man is. No flow of energy. Many blocks, many dry beds, and somewhere little pool exists, and that pool is bound to become dirty. When energy is flowing, you are fresh. When energy is moving without any blocks, you are river-like, and the ocean is not far away. When you are a summer river, everything dried, and only pools of energy exist. And there is no interlink between your energy pools. Then you can never reach the ocean. Then God is farthest possible. Flowing, He is near. Non-flowing, He is very, very far away. Flow is needed. And when you flow, you are beautiful. Look at a child, watch a child. He is a flow, a river-like flow. He moves like wind. And he never tires. If you walk like a child, they have been doing some experiment in Harvard. One very, very healthy person was told 20 hours, 24 hours to follow a child. Whatsoever he does, he has to do. Whatsoever. The child jumps, he has to jump. The child goes out, he has to go out. The child lies down, he has to lie down. Within 8 hours, he was completely gone. He couldn't follow 24 hours. And the child is never tired. What is happening? The river is flowing. And when river is flowing, a constant source of energy is available. The man simply said, I cannot follow anymore. And this boy is driving me crazy. I'm tired, exhausted, and I feel that my mind will crack any moment. Because he is doing such absurd things without any reason, rhyme or rhythm. And I have to follow him. And the boy enjoyed tremendously that somebody is following him and he has become the leader. just watch a small boy. What is happening? Nothing, just simple thing. He is not a dry river in the summer. He is a flood. He is a river in the rainy season. Millions of his streams are falling in him. And the same you can be. But the more you become self-conscious, a deep tension goes in. Self-conscious, you start shrinking. Unself-conscious, you open and spread. And everybody has two concubines. Everybody is himself the two concubines. When Yangshu was passing through Sang, he spent the night at an inn. The innkeeper had two concubines, one beautiful and the other ugly. The ugly one he valued, and the beautiful one he neglected. This looks irrational, but it has a deep reason. When Yangshu asked the reason, the fellow answered, the beautiful one thinks herself beautiful. And I do not notice her beauty. The ugly one thinks herself ugly. And I do not notice her ugliness. Try to understand this arithmetic of existence. Paradoxical, but real. And if you can understand it, many things will change in you immediately. If you demand something, it will not be given to you. If you don't demand, you will suddenly find millions of streams falling in you. Every door is open. Demand and you will be denied. Don't demand and the whole existence belongs to you. Purchase and you will lose. Don't purchase and nobody can take it from you. Be self-conscious and you will not be a self. Be unself-conscious and you attend to the inner crystallization, integrity, which is the self. The fellow said, the one thinks herself beautiful. When somebody thinks himself or herself beautiful, there is a constant demand. Look at me, I am beautiful. Appreciate me. And beauty is a delicate phenomenon. You cannot demand. If you demand, in the very demand you have become ugly. If you demand in the very demand, I repeat, you have become ugly. Because demand is ugly. If you demand and you are too much asking for it, nobody is going to give it to you. Your demand becomes aggression. It is violent. And how violence can be beautiful? How aggression can be beautiful? Somebody who thinks himself or herself beautiful is constantly aggressive. You cannot live with such a person happily. Almost impossible. Because the demand is too much. And when somebody demands, you will feel a sudden feeling not to give. Because one wants to share, one wants to give. But one wants to remain one's own master. If you have to fulfill a demand, you become a slave. Nobody wants to be a slave. And this is not only so for beauty, it is so for every dimension of life. If somebody says that I am a realized man and demands continuously, it is difficult. In the very demand, the man proves the ignorance. Hence, Upanishads say that the man who thinks he knows does not know. Hence, Socrates says that when I became a knower, I realized that I am the most ignorant one. A man who knows becomes ignorant, and all those who are ignorant know much. The demand that I am a knower is the demand of an ignorant mind. Those who know, they never demand. Because the moment you become knowing, you know. What do you know? Nothing. Existence is so vast, so mysterious. How can you know it? All claims to knowledge are egoistic. And only one enters in the mysteries who is not egoistic, who becomes completely self-unconscious, who does not know who he is. It happened. Bodhidharma reached China. He took the lotus flower of silence, the light of Buddha, the awakening, the secret, the key. The emperor came to visit him. He asked many questions. He said, I have done many, many things, good deeds. What will be the outcome? Bodhidharma said, nothing. You will fall in the deepest hell. Because one who has done a good deed should not be self-conscious about it. Because a good deed becomes a bad deed if you are self-conscious about it. That is the only sin. The emperor was a little shocked. He asked other questions and he received only socks. He asked, tell me something about the holy, sacred Buddha. Bodhidharma said, there is nothing holy and nothing sacred. Because if you think something is holy, then self-consciousness takes it over. If you think I am holy, then you are bound to look at others as sinners. So Bodhidharma said, there is nothing holy, nothing sacred. Angry, the emperor asked, who are you talking like this before me? Bodhidharma says, I don't know. This is the perfect knowledge. Bodhidharma said, I don't know who I am talking here before you. Look at the beauty of it. He says, I don't know who I am. In this no claim, he claimed all. When you claim, you miss. Saying, I don't know, he effaced himself completely, utterly. This man is absolutely unself-conscious. He has attained to the self. The beautiful one thinks herself beautiful, and I do not notice her beauty. She would like it to be noticed. Whatsoever you want, people should notice. Nobody will notice it. You will be a constant drainage for their energy. You will drain them of their energy. You will be a burden, a bore, and everybody will escape from you. Nobody would like to be near you. A self-conscious person is like a heavy burden. You come near him and suddenly you feel a fever because he is demanding something. The ugly one thinks herself ugly, and I do not notice her ugliness. And the ugly thinks herself ugly, she is humble. She doesn't claim anything. She doesn't ask. She doesn't demand any notice. She doesn't say things about me, I am this or that. She simply knows she is ugly. So if you love, she feels grateful. If somebody notices her, she feels thankful. And when you feel thankful and grateful, you become beautiful. Whatsoever somebody says to her, she feels it is too much. I was not in any way worthy of it. I am ugly. She is not expecting anything. So whatsoever happens is a bliss, a happiness. If you expect, you will be frustrated. If you don't expect, you will be fulfilled. Said the fellow, the ugly one thinks herself ugly, and I do not notice her ugliness. She has become so humble, so simple, so egoless, so self-unconscious, that I cannot notice any ugliness in her. Yangchu said to his disciples, remember this, if you act nobly and banish from your mind the thought that you are noble, where can you go and not be loved? You are destroying yourself by claiming things. You claim that you are wise, and then life proves you to be a fool. You claim yourself to be very attractive, and life doesn't take any notice of you. You try to prove that you are very beautiful, and everything proves that you are ugly. Because there is nothing more ugly than the ego. And all these claims are egoistic. Drop claims and simply remain with the facts. Don't claim anything. Don't ask anything. Don't demand. Don't think you are very, very worthy. And then much will happen to you. And the whole existence will accept you. When you accept existence, existence accepts you. When you claim, in every claim you are complaining that I was more worthy. Just a few days before, a man came to see me. He insisted, because ordinarily I don't want to see persons who have never meditated, who have never listened to me, because it is going to be futile. But he insisted, so I said, okay. And he has been writing letters for many years, and he said there is such a deep problem he would like to discuss with me. And he is in much misery. Half an hour continuously he talked that he is a graduate from the Oxford, that he is in the Ministry of Education in New Delhi, in the Secretariat on a very high post, and he has done this and that. And I had tried again and again to bring him to the point, what is the problem? But he will not come to the point, round and round. Then I said, but your time is going to be finished, you come to the point. These are not problems. You are a graduate of Oxford. Okay, it is not a problem. What is the problem? Then he said, the problem is that too much injustice has been done to me. I am a very capable man with so many degrees, achievements, and nobody takes any notice of me. So how to tolerate this injustice? He would like to be the Prime Minister or the President or something. Then too it will not be just, because nothing can be just if you expect. I told him, there is no problem. The problem is not how to tolerate injustice. The problem is how to drop the claim of being worthy. If you think yourself to be too much, somebody very significant, then every day, every moment you will find injustice is being done to you. Nobody is doing injustice. Who bothers about you? Who has time to do injustice to you? Who cares? But the whole world is doing injustice to you. Nobody is doing injustice to you. It is your claim. Lao Tzu says, if you want to be the first in the world, you will find yourself to be the last. And if you are able to stand at the back just to be the last, you may find yourself to be the first. Efface yourself completely. A clean slate, a clean slate, not claiming anything, nothing written on it. Become clean and don't be self-conscious. And suddenly you feel all the doors that were closed have opened, they were never closed. It was you. It happened. A rare phenomena. You must have heard about Houdini, the great magician. Only once he failed in his life. Otherwise, any types of locks he will open within seconds without keys. It has remained yet a mystery how he did the whole thing. He was thrown with chains locked into the sea, and he will come within seconds. He was thrown in all great prisons of the world, and within seconds he was out. England has one of the best police, one of the best detective department, the Scotland Yard. But they could not do anything. Whatsoever you do, within few seconds he is out, always. But only once he failed. He failed in France. He was thrown in a cell, in a prison, and he couldn't come out for 3 hours. Nobody could believe that what has happened. Is he dead? And then he came out, perspiring, tired completely. A joke was played and he missed. The door was not locked and he was trying to open it. How you can unlock a door which is not locked? If it is locked, there is a way. Something can be done. He never expected that the door is not locked. He tried and tried from every way, but the door was not locked. There was no lock on it. And he couldn't see it for 3 hours. Then how he came out? Just tired, he fell down and the door opened. Existence is not denying you anything. There is no injustice. There has never been. Cannot be. How the mother can be unjust to the child? Existence is your mother. You come out of it. You go back into it. How existence can be unjust to you? It is your claims, egoistic claims, that create the problem. Remember this, said Yangshu to his disciples, if you act nobly and banish from your mind the thought that you are noble, where can you go and not be loved? If you efface yourself, love rushes from every side towards you. Everybody falls in love with you if you efface yourself. If you are nobody, everybody falls in love with you. Everybody, even a stranger, suddenly feels love for you. This I say to you through my own experience. If you efface yourself, everybody is in love with you. If you try to be somebody, you are impossible. Nobody can love you. Without ego, you are accepted everywhere. You are a guest. You are accepted everywhere. Without ego, whatsoever happens, you will feel a benediction. With ego, whatsoever happens, you will be miserable. Because it is not what happens that matters. It is you to whom it happens. The ego is a deep discontent. It cannot be satisfied. It is a bottomless pit. Whatsoever you throw in it disappears. It remains always hungry. It is the nature of it. Nothing can be done about it. You can simply drop it, otherwise you will remain always dissatisfied. Egolessness is contentment. Egoless, you don't expect anything. And just a small child smiles at you. And it is so beautiful. What else you need? And suddenly you see a flower. And the flower sends its perfume to you. What else you need? What more you want? And the whole sky goes on filling with stars. The whole life becomes a celebration. Because now everything is beautiful. Without expectation, everything fulfills. Just to breathe is enough. Just to breathe is such a bliss. Otherwise, with the ego, I have heard Mullah Nasruddin went to his bank. The bank was celebrating the 100th year of its existence. So they had made it a point that whosoever comes first, he is to be given many presents, a car, a television set and this and that, and 10,000 rupees check. Whosoever comes first. And by accident Mullah Nasruddin entered. He was garlanded, photographed, interviewed, and many things were piled on him, and notes, and the car was standing out, and TV set. When everything was finished, he said, "Now, is everything finished so that I can reach to my destination?" So they asked, "Where you were going?" He said, "To the complaint department." He had come to complain against the bank. But even this will not do. He couldn't forget the complaint. The ego is always going to the complaint department. Whatsoever happens is meaningless. Whatsoever happens is meaningless. Even if God comes to you, he will say, "Wait, let me first reach to the complaint book." The ego is headed towards it. Nothing can satisfy the ego. Drop it. The whole effort is useless. You simply efface yourself. Abide in non-ego. Abide in egolessness. Drop self-consciousness and become more conscious. And then suddenly everything fits. Suddenly everything falls in a harmony. Nothing is wrong. There is no injustice going on. You feel at home everywhere. And only in this moment of at-homeness, the existence takes a new color. It becomes divine. It becomes spiritual. Never before it. So the search for God is not a search for some person outside you. The search for God is a search for this moment of total fulfillment. Suddenly the door is open. It was never closed. It appeared closed to the ego. With no ego in between, the door is open. It has always been remained open. Existence is open, you are closed. Existence is simple, you are complex. Existence is healthy, you are ill. Nothing is to be done to existence. Something is to be done to you. And nobody else can do it for you. You have to do it. Watch your self-consciousness and feel the misery that follows it like a shadow. And if you want to get rid of the shadow, you have to get rid of the ego. You have been trying to get rid of the shadow. But how can one get rid of the shadow? It follows ego. You have to drop the ego, then the shadow disappears. Enough for today.